How's everybody? Blessed and highly flavored, anointed and appointed, prepared for the next thing God's getting ready to do. He's doing it. You don't have to get ready for the next thing. He is doing it. Things are happening, man. God is good all the time. All the time. You know, the greatest thing is, and the greatest weapon is worship. There's so many fruits of worship. God ambushes your enemies. Amen. You get refreshed. Demons leave you. Everything melts away. You die to yourself. But as soon as right afterwards, the enemy's trying to reconnect you again to you. You know, we're our worst enemy. The devil can stand there and just laugh at you. He gives you a baseball bat and you beat yourself up. Because we're listening to what he says instead of rejecting what he says. I'm telling you, we are at a time right now that is so incredible. So incredible. We're going to talk a little bit about it tonight. Because what just happened is God placed his servant in office. This is not about this country. It's about the world. There will be a ripple effect of what just happened. This is a divine inauguration. It's not a natural inauguration. It's a divine inauguration. It's been divinely prepared in the physical realm. Now, an inauguration is the act of officially putting someone into an important position. Amen? Now, we know, again, that for God's season, it's every 4 years. Amen? For natural seasons, you know, it's 4 seasons in 1 year. But God's seasons, it's a prophetic insight of his seasons. It's every 4 years a season starts. So we've entered not only a new season, but a whole new reality that is never going to go back the same. Everything will continue to change. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over kings of the earth, to him who loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, and he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, and to him be glory, dominion forever and ever and ever. And here's the important thing. He's made us kings and priests. And I believe that God is restoring the priesthood of Melchizedek. There's something about Melchizedek. He was not only a priest, but he was a king. See, for you to become a king, you must fulfill your priesthood. And that's a process. Without fulfilling priesthood, you cannot become a king, which is a warrior. A king operates out of the third chamber of the tabernacle, not out of the second. See, a king brings glory. A priest brings the anointing. There's a difference. Brings the glory of God. A king brings the glory of God in whatever he does. A priest brings the presence of God or the anointing. We are called to be kings and priests to bring not only the anointing but the glory of God. Amen. In verse 7 it says, behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, and even they who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Let me tell you, they're going to mourn because God is going to glorify the body. He is preparing to release kings through the earth. That's why he just anointed his king. His name is Donald Trump. It's a kingly inauguration. Well, there's something about a king. A king goes and takes territory. Does everybody understand? A priest ministers to the king, King of Kings. So that's why you're hearing about Greenland and Canada. And why? Because his purpose is a global function. His purpose, an agenda and destiny ordained by God Almighty, is to change the world. Not dictate it, but change it. By what? Bringing God's glory and presence in every part of the nations and the world. You know, I had a vision one day, and I saw the Lord taking these beautiful stallions, and he was putting them like in a starting gate, you know, all the races, you know. And he was taking them one by one and putting them in the gates, and there were some already in the gates. And I said, Lord, those are beautiful stallions, but what do they represent? He said, they represent my people, my kings. And he was putting them in, and I still saw many stalls of the starting gates that were not filled yet. He said, when they're filled, I'm going to release them. I'm telling you, he's starting to release some. Because they're filled. But there's still a process of training from priests to become kings. It's happening right now. You want to be a king, you want to be a warrior, you must learn how to operate out of the third chamber of the tabernacle, which is the kingly anointing. It's where the glory of God. You're a warrior. Well, we have a teaching called third dimensional warrior. That's a warrior. That's a king. It doesn't matter whether you're female, male, young, old. It doesn't matter. In the spirit realm, you're either a king or a priest or a citizen. Exodus 29, verse 38, please. On the day Trump was inaugurated, there's no coincidence that it was Martin Luther King Day. Hello? Anybody get that? There was no coincidence that it was Martin Luther King Day. Why? Because God was inaugurating his king. It's not to give glory to Donald Trump. It's to give glory to the Lord. Because look at what's happening. The first thing. Now, what does a king do? He makes decrees. That man made decrees all night long. He was signing executive orders to remove the Nephilim race. Oh, too bad so many people don't get it. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to 29:38. 29:38. Glory to God. Martin Luther King Day, who was a warrior. He was a king in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Verse 38, let's speak it together, please. Now, this is what you shall offer on the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. One lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. With the one lamb shall be one-tenth of an ephah of flour mixed with one-fourth of hin of pressed oil and one-fourth of hin of wine as a drink offering. And the other lamb you shall offer at twilight, you shall offer with it the grain offering and the drink offering, as in the morning, for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, where I will what? Meet with you to speak to you. In other words, he's talking to who? The priests. So that he can meet with them and speak to them. But he said there's something that's got to happen first. You got to constantly sacrifice. See, now, there is the sacrifice of praise. We ain't got to kill no animals now. The closer you want to get to God, the more you're getting to worship. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Verse 44. And there I will meet with you, with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be what? Sanctified by my what? Glory. So I will consecrate the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. And I will also consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as what? Priests. I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Continual sacrifice, the tabernacle. Oh, hallelujah. Again, there's three chambers. There's all outer court, holy place, and most holy place. The outer court is salvation. The holy place is priesthood. And the most holy place is kingship. Hebrews 13. Remember, kings do what? They take the land. They take territory. Now, listen, there are CEOs and businessmen, and this is all kinds of things that God has ordained to be kings to take lands and places. And the purpose of taking territory is to declare the kingdom of God. Hebrews 13:10, please. It says, we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by a high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of what? Praise. To God, that it, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share with such sacrifices. God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive. For they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Now, again, be submissive to rule. What he's got talking about kingdom rule. See, if you look at what's been going on, there's been rebellion towards kingdom rule on the earth. Amen? There's been rebellion. Look at all the things that are happening. Now, I know that there's been all kinds of things going on. There's earthquakes and fires and this and that, whatever. And I'm not saying that some of it might be judgment of God, but most of it is the groaning of the earth, waiting for the kings to be released. Oh, hallelujah. Sacrifice of praise brings the anointing. That's why you must fulfill your priesthood. Hebrews chapter 7. Without fulfillment of priesthood, you cannot be a warrior, or you can't maintain that position. Look at how many people lost their positions. Why? Because they didn't maintain it. How do you maintain a position in the kingdom? Worship. Hebrew 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest, he's a king and a what? And a priest. Look at this. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of what? Of the kings, and blessed him. Why? Because an anointing of the king has authority to destroy kings and queens. A priest does not have the anointing to do that. There's a difference. Does everybody understand that? To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, meaning King of Peace. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, without never having beginning of days or end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. So if he's maintaining a priest continually, what else is he maintaining? Kingship. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are sons of Levi, who receive the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. So priests in the Old Testament did not receive lands. Kings did. Priests received tithes. Does everybody get it? They didn't come and bring gold to priests. They came and brought gold and silver to the kings. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is a witness that he lives. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father with Melchizedek, met him. Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, of necessity there is also a change of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no man has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. Why? Because it was associated with kingship. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of whom which the tribe of Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident if, in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who has come, not according to the law of the fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testifies, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because it is weakness and unprofitable, unprofitless. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is a bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. Wow. So a priest received tithes and gave tithes, but not territory. Only kings take territories. God was restoring, and he's restoring right now, the order of Melchizedek. Kings and priests. Kings for territory and priests for the anointing. Somebody got it. Hallelujah. This is awesome. And God has anointed Donald Trump as a king in fulfilling and starting the ripple effect of the order of Melchizedek. In 1 Kings 18, verse 25. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. 1 Kings 18:25. Are we there? Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So they took the bull which was given to them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning, evening, till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them, saying, cry aloud, for he is a god, Either he is meditating, or he is busy, or he is on a journey, or preparing. He's sleeping and must be awakened. So they cried louder and cut themselves. Hello? Cutters. It's people that self-cutting, they offer sacrifices to Baal. So they cried aloud and cut themselves as their custom with knives and lances until blood gushed out on them. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." So all the people came near to him, and he prepared the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 sheaves of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bulls in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, "Fill 4 water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." Then he said, "Do it a second time," and they did it a second time. And he said, "Do it a third time," and they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all the things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." And Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape." So they seized them. Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and executed them there. 450 prophets he killed. Hello. Well, he's got the anointing, doesn't he? He's a priest. He killed the prophets. Because he can kill, he's an anointed prophet, he can kill the prophets. But he can't kill the queens and kings. And then 1 Kings 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life. Come on, think about it. They just got done killing 450 prophets. But he knew he couldn't kill the queen. And went to Bathsheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servants there. He booked, man. Elijah feared the queen because he didn't have the kingly anointing. He can only kill the prophets. In verse 15, go to verse 15. Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arise, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nishai, as king over" what? Israel. So Jehu was now king over Israel. "And Elijah, the son of Japhet, Ebel Meloah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. And it shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." Who? So, Elijah went and anointed Elisha and anointed Jehu and Hazael as kings. Amen? Now go to 2 Kings 9 and verse 30. Now when Jehu, who was a king, had come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. Is she a queen? Yes. And she put paint on her eyes and adorned her head and looked through a window. Then as Jehu entered the gate, he said, "Is it peace, Zimri, murderer of your master?" And he looked up at the window and said, "Who is on my side? Who?" So two or three eunuchs looked out to him at him. Then he said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down, and some of her blood spattered on the wall and on the horses, and he trampled her underfoot. Then when he had gone in, he ate and drank. Then he said, "Go now, see if this accursed woman, and bury her." So she was a king's daughter, besides a queen. So they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet of the palms of her hands. Therefore they came back and told him, and he said, "This is the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, 'On the plot of ground at Jezreel, dogs shall eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the corpse of Jezebel shall be his refuge on the surface of the field and in the plot of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, here lies Jezebel.'" Okay, Jehu killed her. Kingship, kingly anointing. Why? Kings bring the glory. Kings bring the glory. Priests bring the anointing. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, imagine what's happening right now. You got to step back and look at the ripple effect of what's happening. As God's releasing his warriors, his kings, and businesses and everything else, and he's preparing to refill those stalls, those starting gates, with priests that are being prepared to become kings. It's going to be moving rapidly. It's going to be happening all over the world. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, this inauguration is a divine inauguration. The world will never be the same. Never. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Now, remember that activation of the kingdom of God is done by your voice. Everything in the kingdom of God is activated by what comes out of you. There's life and death in the power of the tongue. In them he has set a what? Tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, or a king coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. His rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from the heat or his presence or from the glory of God. Again, that's why it's so vitally important to maintain priesthood. That's what the Lord says, forsake not to assemble. For what? Worship. The corporate anointing produces priests. And the continuous corporate anointing of the priestly anointing will move a person into a higher level, crossing over into the third chamber and becoming a king, a warrior, a third dimensional warrior. But there's something that prevents people from doing, and it's called full surrender. Pride. Pride is a killer. to all the anointing. Pride is the killer to God's blessings. Pride is a killer. It's a killer to healing. It's a killer to prosperity. Pride is a killer. What does the Bible say? God rejects the what? Proud. But gives grace, which is God's plan of prosperity, to the humble. Humble. The humbles do not promote themselves. They deny themselves. Psalm 149, verse 1. Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, in his praise in the assembly of the saints. Are we the assembly of the saints? Let Israel rejoice in their maker, and let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name with the dance. Let them sing praises to him with a timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. And let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, and to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. Wow. That's called kingdom authority. Amen. Kingdom authority. Romans 13 in verse 1. I mean, it's just blowing me away what's happening right now. I mean, we're watching all the decrees of the Lord, who's used Trump to sign him in the physical realm to destroy Satan's kingdom. Verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. What governing authorities? God's governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Those that are self-appointed are not from God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Are we seeing that? Yeah. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of these, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Kingdom authority, obey it. Amen. Praise God. Man, I want to know all the things Trump's saying. I want to know all of them. I heard he's got about 1,000 of them. People are freaking out all over the world. People are being arrested even right now. And they're going to have to build stage 2 to Guantanamo. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 17, verse 40. So this is about King David, who kicked butt and Goliath, who was a Nephilim. It says, then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now, was David anointed as a king? Yes. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked at about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog?" Which he was, "that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, now remember, David was anointed as a king. His words are decrees. Do you know when you're anointed as a king, your words are decrees? Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of a sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they boogied. Hello. See, the kingly anointing kills giants of Nephilim. And he removes, now the removing of the head meant position. So David not only killed him, but then he went and caught him with his own sword, with his own weapon. Now that sword was not small. Not anyone just could lift that sword up, but the anointing lifted that sword up. And he struck off the head of Goliath, who was a Nephilim. Amen. Because he held position, he know that head of position was no longer. Oh. Is again, this is so amazing of how God is revealing and letting things go and releasing. It's just incredible. Remember, to rule and to reign. To rule represents position. And to reign is execution of the assignment from God. So we are called to rule and reign. Amen? So we're called to rule in a position and to execute the assignments. It's called reign. So there's rule and reign. Hallelujah. Trump has a position and he's executing the agenda of God. That's where he's signing all these decrees. And see, so God desires that his people become kings. But he desires them to go through the priestly process so they learn how to maintain kingship. Glory. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Thank you, Master. Divine inauguration. Divine inauguration. In the physical realm, which is awesome.
Oh, hallelujah.
If people could really grab hold of what happened.
Ooh.
In verse 18, for I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Where's the glory go to? Kingship. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God or the kings of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also be delivered from the bondage of what? Corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption or redemption of our body. See, sometimes you're groaning and not struggling. But you must know the difference. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance, which is endurance. Amen? Oh, praise God. Go to Revelation 19, verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and Righteousness. He judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he shall strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads a winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because he is the king of what? The kings of all the earth. The kings of his kingship. The kings of his kingdom. Now I'm going to close at Isaiah 60. Oh, that you may know who you are. That you may be enlightened of your true identity. Remember, you didn't choose it, God chose it. And whom he chooses and he prepares, he provides. And how do we receive these things? By faith. By faith. Hallelujah. Remember, pride is the number one killer. He was dancing with a sword. Praise God. Kingship. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The glory rests on who? Kings. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar. Your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because of the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, and the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. Why? There's going to be a tremendous wealth exchange. Remember, if God is increasing his kings, what do kings receive? Wealth and land. This is what we're falling into. I don't want to say falling to, but it's opened. This is the new reality, the new reality that we're stepping into. It's a refreshing reality. Old is gone. It's coming into the new. This will go on for a period of time until every soul has an opportunity to know the truth. Every soul. And which ones we haven't reached, God will reach. He'll visit them. Because, you know, he doesn't let somebody go to hell without giving them a warning. Nobody goes to hell just to go to hell. In fact, some of them God rescued on the way to hell. Even though they didn't know the truth, he rescued them, gave them another opportunity. I mean, there's many testimonies. People go, man, I was dying and I was on my way to hell when the Lord showed up. I didn't know. I was a Muslim. I was this. I was that. See, again, that's why the enemy plays all of this religious stuff. Because they can't become kings. And he knows because he fears kings. God is raising up a generation of kings right now. Some of them have already been released from the gates, and they've gone forth. Every decree that he has written, there will be kings involved going. So be prepared, get ready, fulfill your priesthood to become a king. And don't forsake it. Maintain that routine. Amen? Praise God. Father, we are honored and blessed. We thank you for your word tonight. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Seal it with the Holy Spirit. Anoint it. And bring reality to each and every one what our call and purpose and destiny is as kings of the great King and the great I Am in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.